Morning, church. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're going to look at the seventh chapter, verses 1 to 13. And this is what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. And then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, "There is no other God but Christ, the lie that Pharaoh could be God." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie, and good morning. Good morning! It is indeed a good morning because God is the only God, and He is God even over Pharaoh and the Egyptians. This week, we're going to be going through a large portion of Scripture. I'm going to attempt to give you an overview of the 10 plagues of Egypt. If you are familiar with this story, it will be easier to follow, but if not, I hope you will still benefit from this message. Last week, we learned that Satan's only power is to work through lies and deception, and that lies and deception led Adam and Eve into ruin. This week we look at the lie of the self-righteous pride of Pharaoh. God had given his people over to 400 years of slavery in Egypt. We know that this was God's doing because when he had first called his people through Abraham, God had clearly told Abraham about these 400 years that would happen to the people of Israel, Abraham's descendants. But here in Exodus, God sends his servant Moses to communicate his word to the ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh, who now rules over the people of Israel and holds them in terrible slavery. Yet even as God commands Pharaoh to let his people go and submit to God's will, he also hardens Pharaoh's heart at the very same time. so for the purpose that he can multiply his judgments on Pharaoh and on Egypt. You see, Pharaoh may think that he is God of his own life and his own kingdom, but he is not. Satan is up to his usual evil as God allows Satan to deceive Pharaoh into disobeying God's word. But God is the one who ultimately holds the heart of Pharaoh in his hands and the one who sends his judgment on Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, you are the one who holds Pharaoh's heart in your hands. Father, you can do with it whatever you will. And you actually harden his heart against you so that you might judge him for his many sins. Father, he is indeed the one who sins in his heart. You do not make him sin, but you harden his heart and decide to judge him even as he rejects you, even as you harden his heart. Father, Satan attempts to deceive Pharaoh again and again throughout these 10 plagues into thinking that he can disobey you, God, and do it without punishment. Father, that he will be able to stand against your power and overcome you as God. But this is just a deception, Father. He cannot. You are the one who ultimately holds power over Pharaoh, over Egypt, and over Satan and any of his forces, Father. I pray that we will see this from your word, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 7, 1 through 4. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment." The opening scene. God commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh and speak his word to him. But God told Moses that Pharaoh would not listen to him. God is very merciful to his people. He delivers them out of slavery to sin and out of Satan's deception through the signs and wonders of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, these signs and wonders that God does in Egypt are just a pointer to the signs and wonders of what Jesus Christ did in his life, death, and resurrection, so that we might be saved from sin and from the lies of Satan. You see, we have not listened to God's word just like Pharaoh has not listened to God's word. God has sent us his word in his scripture and through the work of the church. But before we heard it, we were rejecting his word in our hearts before we even heard it. And this is sin. When we do not obey God's word, we sin against God. And because we sin, we deserve judgment. The similar judgment that came upon Pharaoh in Egypt, the plagues, the death, the pain, the suffering that Egypt experienced because of God's judgment, we too deserve to experience God's judgment eternally in hell. But Jesus became a man because of God's mercy. Just as Moses came to Egypt to save the people of God from their slavery in Egypt, so Jesus comes and lives a perfect, righteous life so that we might be saved from our slavery to sin. He never once sinned. He never once broke God's law. He was not like Pharaoh nor any man. He was not even like Moses, who also was a sinner. And when we trust in Christ for his perfect, righteous, holy life that he lived, we receive credit for that life as our own and can now stand before God as righteous. But we still deserve that punishment. And Jesus comes and takes that punishment in our place. He went to the cross. And when we believe in him, because he took the wrath of God upon himself on the cross, we receive forgiveness in Christ. And we no longer have to take this judgment that we deserve. If Pharaoh would only have repented truly of his sin, he might have received the mercy of God. But he did not. In fact, his heart continued to be hardened again and again. But then the signs and wonders that Jesus did was he was resurrected from the dead on the third day. And if we trust in him, then we all might experience those signs and wonders of the resurrection in our heart when we believe in his resurrection. And we then can obey God from the heart because of the power of that resurrection and be saved ultimately from the judgment of God in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So we should believe in him. We should repent where Pharaoh did not and receive the forgiveness of our sins in Christ and through the power of the resurrection, obey God. So let us continue in this story of what Pharaoh did and what we should not do. Exodus 7:10-13. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. The scene continues. God performed a sign through Moses and Aaron by turning a staff, a wooden staff, into a serpent. But God allowed Satan to deceive Pharaoh by giving the magicians the power to do a similar act. Yet God was still God, even over Satan, as God's serpents swallowed up the magician's serpents. And just as God had said he would, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus 7:15-17 continues. "Go to Pharaoh in the morning," God said to Moses, "as he is going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood.'" Another scene. God commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh and speak his word to him, telling him to let God's people go to worship. God said that Pharaoh would know that he is God because he would turn the water of the Nile into blood. You see, God declared his word to Pharaoh that only he is God because he was the one who would do great acts of judgment over Egypt. God commanded Pharaoh to let his people go. Exodus 7:20-22 continues the story. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. They changed some water into blood. It must not have been much because all the water in Egypt had already been turned into blood. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. We see in this scene that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and God turned the water of the Nile into blood. But the magicians also turned some of the water into blood, and Pharaoh's heart remained hardened against God's word. You see, when God turned all the water of the Nile into blood, all the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile itself stank. None of the Egyptians could drink any of the water, and there was blood everywhere. But God allowed Satan to deceive Pharaoh when the magicians turned some water into blood as well. Exodus 8:1-3 moves on. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of the servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. This was a terrible plague. A change in scene brings us to the point where Moses went to Pharaoh again and declared God's word to him, commanding Pharaoh to let God's people go. God told Pharaoh that when he refused to obey, that all of Egypt would swarm with frogs. Exodus 8, 5 through 7 continues. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then we see that God caused frogs to swarm over all of Egypt. But the magicians also did something similar, so that Satan could deceive Pharaoh into disobeying God. Exodus 8, 8 through 10. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs may be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it as you say, so for the purpose that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. As this scene comes to a high point, the magicians could not help Pharaoh by taking away the frogs. They could not. They did not have that power. So he pleaded with God to remove this terrible plague of frogs from Egypt. Moses told Pharaoh that God would relent so that Pharaoh would know that there was no other God but God. Exodus 8, 13 through 15, the Lord does relent with the frogs. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. As the scene concludes, this scene, God kept the promise he had made through Moses, and all the frogs throughout Egypt died all at once, making the land of Egypt stink with death. And just as God had said, he hardened Pharaoh's heart yet again. So the land of Egypt stank with the death of fish, was overcome with the waters being blood. There was blood everywhere. There was dead frogs everywhere. But Pharaoh would not repent. Exodus 8, 16 through 19 continues the story. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. But the magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. They could not do it. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." They're telling him it's the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Another scene opens as God sent another, bigger plague into Egypt, this time of gnats throughout all the land. This time, the magicians could not produce a single gnat. The magicians cowered before God, saying, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh was still deceived, and God hardened his heart. The magicians, who were pagan and did not normally acknowledge the God of Israel, the true God, realized that they did not possess any power comparable to that of God, and confessed that only God could do the signs and wonders that he was doing in Egypt. They declared that these works were the finger of God, the work of God himself. But Pharaoh would not repent even at their confession. Exodus 9, verses 8 and 9. We skip forward past several plagues. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt." After several more plagues, God commanded Moses and Aaron to take soot and throw it in the air, through which God would produce boils on men and animals all throughout Egypt. Exodus 9, 10 through 12. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. This was painful, very painful. And the magicians, these very magicians who tried to stand against God, could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. We see a turning point as the magicians having already acknowledged that God's power far exceeded their own, could not stand before God's power as the boils came upon them and all the Egyptians. And there is no further mention of the Egyptian magicians ever again in the entire Bible. No more Egyptian magicians. Still, God hardened Pharaoh's heart that he, God, might perform even more judgment on him. Exodus 11, 4 through 7. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle, even of the animals. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know." What will we know? "That the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel, because Israel, he is their God." After three more plagues that we didn't mention, God declared his 10th and final judgment against Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. Every firstborn child would die. Tens of thousands, at least. There might have even been hundreds of thousands. Who knew how many people there were in Egypt at this time? It was a great empire. All of these firstborn children would die, including the son of Pharaoh himself. The cries of terror in Egypt would be the worst that had ever been or would ever be. And nothing would touch God's people so that Pharaoh would know that only God is God. Exodus 12, 29 through 32. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne. Let him sit on his throne. That's the thing. He can sit on his throne, but he's not God. God is God. To the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron. By night, in the middle of the night, he summoned them and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." He's saying, please don't allow God to do anything else to me. Bless me. But that's not the end of Pharaoh, as we're going to see. The last plague comes to Egypt as God strikes down every firstborn in Egypt so that in every house there was someone dead and the fear of God came to every household. Pharaoh finally obeyed God and let his people go. Exodus 14, 26 through 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, because the sea had parted, the Red Sea had parted, and the Israelites were going through the Red Sea to finally escape Egypt. But Pharaoh was chasing them. He was coming up behind them. He hadn't had enough. He didn't realize that he was still fighting against God. He wouldn't win. So the Pharaoh and his armies are going through the sea, the parted Red Sea. And the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. At the conclusion of God's judgments on Pharaoh and Egypt, Pharaoh would still not repent, even after he let God's people go. After allowing them to depart Egypt, he chased after them with a great army to the Red Sea. As the Red Sea parted for the people of God to pass through, Pharaoh chased them into the sea, and God's final judgment of him and all his armies swallowed them up into the sea. The end of Pharaoh. Application number one. The magicians thought that they had great power in comparison to the power of God. But in the end, they realize that nothing can compare to or stand before the power of God. Do not fear the power of Satan, which is only to lie and deceive. Fear God alone. That's it. Fear God. He is sovereign. He is in control. He hardens the hearts of those who he will, and he has mercy on those whom he will. Application number two. Pharaoh was deceived by Satan into thinking he could defy and disobey God's word. Arrogance and pride filled his heart. We must not believe Satan that we can defy and disobey God's word and avoid his judgment. Pharaoh did not avoid God's judgment. The magicians did not avoid God's judgment. No one can avoid his judgment except through the mercy and grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, in this story, we see a picture of spiritual warfare, Father, where ultimately nothing and no one can withstand your power, Father. You are victorious in every situation. You are always God, and no one else is God. Not Pharaoh, not any man, no matter how powerful, not Satan, nor any being that was created by you, for you are God, and no one can stand against you, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.